You're listening to the Mother of All Solutions podcast, conversations about careers and caring for today's parents.
Hi everyone, welcome to our Mothers in Music event. This is so exciting and thanks for coming and joining us. So my name's Rachel and this is Julia. Together we run the BYOB, Bring Your Own Baby Choir. Ta-da! And so we're going to kick off the event.
The Mothers in Music Network was set up last June 2023 in response to a series of coaching clients I'd had who were expressing to me how difficult it was to kind of keep their musical career going. I'm a coach. I run a company called Mama Coaching and I work with a lot of creative artists. And There seemed to be some kind of universal themes emerging from what they were saying. It wasn't just what was sort of personally felt, the difficulty of like, what is my musical identity? How do I keep my creative practice going and so on? There seemed to be something a little bit more systemic at play, that they were talking to me about being dropped by management or by agents. There seemed to be quite a lot of discrimination happening. And so I sort of wanted to dig around. Music is my own background. I was a performer until I had children myself. And I also thought that my career had come to a halt when I had children. It has been a really amazing coming together of women, performers, producers, DJs, festival organisers, record labels, you name it. There's been a really wonderful cross-section of women who work across the music industry, who are all mothers and all trying to work out how to manage their careers, sustain their careers and stay visible and valuable and celebrated in the music industry. This gig is a showcase of that network and brings together a number of the women who are in the network and gives them a platform to perform. They don't need a platform. They already have a platform. They've got audiences, but we're doing things slightly differently with this gig. We wanted to produce a gig. All the producers and all the production team are women and all mothers, incidentally. We wanted to produce a gig that allowed them to perform in a way that felt comfortable for them and referred also to their caring responsibilities. So we've got a daytime program for some of the women who have young children, or in fact one woman, Rita, has a much older son who has special needs and she finds it really hard to get out in the evenings. So we wanted to provide a platform for them to perform during the day that worked around their caring responsibilities, whatever they look like. With caring responsibilities, we often keep quite quiet about the challenges we face because we don't want to be seen to be a diva or to be difficult or to be asking too much. So we wanted to create a stage where those challenges, those stories, those workarounds were absolutely central and centre stage to the experience of the performers and the people that we brought up on stage with us. And there's a long way for us to go in terms of shedding light on what those stories are. So there's quite a few different stories represented, even in the small gathering of musicians that we brought together. But fundamentally, they're all facing some pretty similar structural challenges around childcare, touring schedules, the assumptions that a music industry will make about how available you are now that you're a parent. So there's lots of stories and lots of assumptions that are worth challenging and interrogating. And as a group of people, we're trying to find solutions and innovations and to challenge a few norms to understand what a music industry could look like that was much more inclusive of women and much more inclusive of mothers. And so it feels really important to champion those women and to celebrate those women who are managing to maintain a career in the music industry despite those challenges and assumptions, and to lift them up and give them a platform that works around their childcare or their caring responsibilities more broadly, not just, you know, in spite of them. So that's really what the day was all about.
So welcome, listeners, to Mother of All Solutions podcast. I'm delighted to be at a fantastic event called Mothers in Music in this amazing venue. It's a deconsecrated church. I don't know how long it's been an arts venue, but it's called The Mount Without in Bristol. It's beautiful. There's paintings everywhere. There's obviously all the pews and the old church artwork and church furniture, and it's just a very atmospheric place to be in today. I have got some lovely mothers who have agreed to come on mic for the episode and for the podcast, Mother of All Solutions, to talk about mothering and musical life, really. So I'm delighted to speak to my first guest, to Sarah. So hi, Sarah.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good, good. And thank you for agreeing to be my first interviewee. It's always...
Thanks for having me.
So Sarah, you're here at the Mothers in Music event. So tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. Like, how do you relate to this event? What's your...
Well, I'm primarily an illustrator, but I'm also a musician. I'm a drummer and singer, and I make my own solo music. But since knowing Rachel for a few years now, I've started playing the drums with her.
Okay.
And Rachel's she's the headliner tonight.
Great.
Rachel Dad. And I also went to a baby choir that she ran when my toddler was a newborn. And so, yeah, it's been a lovely patchwork of musical life in Bristol that I've been sharing with her and doing on my own, and it's been really nice.
Yeah, and with the drumming, had you always been musical? I know you said primarily you make your living as an illustrator, but had you been musical as a child through to adulthood, or like what?
Yeah, I played the drums. I started when I was 10, and then when I went to art school in Edinburgh, and I started a band up there, and I was the drummer and singer. So I was sitting down at a full drum kit and no one could see me. So it wasn't that well thought through, but I had a lot of fun. And then I left uni and the band ended. And I started a solo enterprise, which is like learning more about production. And someone's sound checking.
No, it's great. I love it.
And so I've been doing that. And then I had my children. I've got two boys.
Okay. And one who sat on your knee.
Yeah, one of them is Gabriel. He's 11 months old. So I still make music when I can, and I do illustration when I can. It's changed quite a bit since the university freedom days.
I know, it all changes, right? And how old's your other child? You said you've got two sons.
Yeah, Ezra's three.
Okay.
Gabriel's nearly one.
Yeah, so busy. So have you worked freelance a lot then within your life, or were you ever in a sort of an art house or a production graphic company? Or
I've always been self-employed, freelance as an illustrator. I did a few like office jobs before I went full-time, but it's all been sort of self-employed. Which is really good because it's very flexible when you're a mother.
It
has its downsides.
Exactly, predictability of
income is very up and down.
I think this event, Mothers in Music, has been set up with this idea of increasing visibility and value to those who make music in maybe not the obvious way of the typical star that's sort of portrayed as, you know, the only way to be a musician or have you.
It's really interesting. There's much more conversation about it now. When I think about like some of the big names in the industry, like Jessie Ware Nadine Shah, they're talking a bit more about the intricacies of being a woman in the industry and how it can screw you over. And even actually
Paloma Faith's another one who's quite outspoken, isn't she, about it all.
And that girl who just won the Brit Award,
Ray.
Yeah, she was saying, you know, her management dropped her, and then she went off and released the album that they had stopped her from releasing, and look what happened.
And that's nuts, isn't it?
So it's really interesting and getting more of these stories now.
The stories of being a woman in the industry, and then also the stories of being a mother in the industry as well, that other sort of layer or intersection that comes with it. Oh, well, I'm sorry I won't get to hear you perform tonight.
That's okay.
When you're performing tonight, what's your plan with regards to childcare
it's a tricky one. I'm going to have Gabriel strapped to me in his sling, and I'm going to do my best to get him to sleep. if he's not asleep, it's not the end of the world, but he does like to sing, as you can tell, with the reverberations around the room. And my partner is at home with our three-year-old, so we can't ever go to a gig together until they're a bit older.
It's tricky, right?
Yeah.
Does he like the drums, Gabriel?
He does.
Does he try to hit them? Or?
He does. He tries to grab everything. I play them quite quietly because I'm aware of his hearing. Yeah. You know, he's got little ear defenders as well.
You see kids at gigs with those. But I've never seen a kid with a performing mother wearing them. So.
Yep, he's done that. We've been there, done that.
Oh, well, maybe I get to see some photos post-event of you and Gabriel in action. Are you on Instagram?
Yes.
What's the best way?
Well, my illustration is Sarah Tanat Jones. It's T-A-N-A-T Jones. It's all one word. And then my music is Tanat Music. So same thing, T-A-N-A-T Music. I play the drums and I program loops and sing harmonies. it's lots of fun.
I'll definitely look you up, and I'm sure our listeners will too.
Thank you.
So thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Gabriel.
Thanks. Nice to meet you. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Crunch of snow, tapping ice, snowball fights, we are laughing, quick before it melts.
So I'm delighted to now be speaking with Megs, who sat here with her baby daughter. Hi, Megs.
Hi, Laura.
How are things?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like you've had a nice day so far, like off for a nice breakfast brunch with some of the other mothers.
We're going to be singing to today in the choir, so
amazing.
I thought we'd meet beforehand.
Yeah, lovely. So you're singing in a choir, so I assume you a professional singer as well?
I am as well, is the Bring Your Own Baby Choir.
Okay.
Where mums can come along, and dads, but with their little ones, and sing together. But I'm also a professional musician.
Yeah. But the choir is open to
all sorts of
singers.
Absolutely.
Well, bad ones like myself could be allowed. Yeah.
I don't believe there's any bad singers.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. My colleagues and my family might disagree, but... And professionally, Megs, tell me a little bit about your work and what you do.
Well, I'm a voice and sound therapist, so basically using voice, breath, movement as ways to process whatever people would like to work on. So using music with well-being, that's kind of one of my main things.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Like, super interesting, because obviously when you think of a mother or a musician and how they use sound, you don't necessarily always immediately think of the options and the paths within that. You just think of, well, at least I do, performance, right, is the immediate thing. But actually, there's so many roles.
In all honesty, there's a bit of a patchwork of roles that I. So I have that side, and I have my own band project as well, and singer-songwriter as well, and then I also work as a music facilitator for Bristol Beacon, which is also music and wellbeing. Lots of little.
Oh, really interesting.
Branches.
And has that changed since motherhood, or?
It really has. I shifted basically to full-time music since becoming a mum.
Okay.
Which has always been my dream, but just hadn't felt possible. And I think with motherhood came a real sense of clarity in what direction I wanted to be taking, and purpose, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think thinking about what legacy you want to leave for your children, but what is most important to you in your life, I think that becomes much more clear, or did for me, when I gave birth to my first daughter.
Oh, amazing. So you've got more than one,
I've got a four-year-old daughter.
Oh, lovely.
And, I'd say it was about a year after she was born that I trained in the voice and sound therapy.
Yeah.
And, and that kind of really wanted to bring the well-being and music sides of my life together.
It's fantastic. And the Mothers in Music event today is about amplifying the voices of mothers in the industry. Is there anything particular you really want to share or contribute as part of that movement, for want of a better phrase? Like, is there anything?
Yeah, I think that there's a number of things. I think one would be ways in which mothers can participate in society without it always being, especially in music, an evening event. More daytime events. There are lots of mothers that would like to be performing, sharing their art, whatever their job role is, really, in the daytimes, and things which are child friendly. So that's one side. For me, there's also the fact that a mother, the whole process of becoming a mother, is a really life-changing growth part of our journey, and I think there's a lot of wisdom that can be shared through that, and that people need to be hearing that voice. So particularly, for me as a musician, sharing my voice as a mother, not, you know, even if it's a night performance, going on stage and saying, this is a part of my story as a mother, and it's really important. It's got so much, so many elements that can bring,
can bring wisdom
to everyone, I think. I think it's a really important voice that needs to be valued in our society.
I completely agree. So thank you for sharing that. And Megs, how can people find you through social media or keep in touch with you?
So my band is called Emrys the Brave. So that's E-M-R-Y-S, the Brave. And that's on all the social media. And then as a solo performer, Megs Emrys. And my Instagram's Megs Rose Music.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Megs.
Thank you so much, Laura.
All right, take care. Bye. Bye. We're getting a bye from the baby. Bye.
Say something.
Bye.
That was me. Eat the microphone.
Yeah, that's fine. We're not going to pressure.
Come now, all but the snowman. Crunch of snow, tapping ice. Snowball fights, we are laughing quick. Before it melts.
I'm now delighted to be joined by Jenny Linsforce, who is performing today after the lunchtime slot, I believe. So hi to Jenny.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on mic today. Tell me a little bit about yourself and your work as a musician.
Well, I am a singer-songwriter, self-producing artist, and I perform under the name Sailing Stones. And I've released an album, self-released an album, about 4 years ago, and I am working on a new album now, which basically explores maternal mental health and matrescence and all of those things, and generally just the lens of my experience of that whole thing.
So there's the direct correlation between the music and the motherhood through your work. And when did you become a mother? When would you identify as having become a mother?
I had my daughter in 2019, very end of 2019, and then 3 months later there was a pandemic. Which was kind of great, really. I mean, it was awful, obviously, but it was kind of just nice to be able to drop into it. And not have that pressure to sort of return to life. So everything just slowed down to a very mysterious kind of pace. And it did make me feel very inspired. And that was really interesting because I didn't really anticipate that. So so I kind of started exploring what I was going through, my own personal processes and research of the general universal experience of becoming a mother.
And were you exploring, producing, making whilst you were at home during the lockdown? So did you put it aside and wait till you kind of, how did you work?
The first year to do anything creative kind of felt impossible, but it was all kind of percolating. And then about a year after she was born, I started to go back into the studio. I got some Arts Council funding to develop the idea. And from then, I worked in the evenings mainly when she'd gone to bed. Stolen moments. I did a lot of things like songwriting workshops. To hold me accountable.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. And is that because you felt it was such a different path creatively or content-wise that you needed that? Or was it just that you were so busy with mothering that you needed it? Or?
I think I was open to new ideas. I think somebody saying, you know, write a song using this, you know, approach or that approach gave me some structure. And the accountability was a lot to do with just being so busy. I would never finish anything. It would all just be a lot of unfinished stuff, and I really wanted to just keep moving. So the songwriting workshops just helped me to have some structure
level.
On a practical level.
And you're expecting your second child?
Yes, I am.
As well.
Yes.
So the album's coming out before the.
I was hoping for that, but actually, I think what will happen is it's just wrapping up recording now. We've got a few more days to do.
Okay.
And then, I would say realistically the end of the year.
Okay.
But probably more realistically February next year, I would say, would be the main, because I think I know now that the rest of the year is going to be very immersed in the baby phase, which is a beautiful phase, and I just don't want to put too much pressure on myself. And I also want to get the release right, and all of that requires quite a lot of strategy and funding and all of those things.
Yeah, both and are proper commitments, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I feel like the administration of putting a record out is easier than the creative side with a baby, yeah, because, you know, you can just sort of strap them on. Mm-hmm. I used to take Peggy up to meetings in London and things like that when she was a baby.
Yeah.
It's harder as she gets older, but you have a lot of flexibility. They can bend to your will a lot more.
There's pros and cons of all these phases.
There's sleep deprivation, but you can just get going or you know, be hands-free.
Yeah. No, I missed when my first, especially, like, being able to take her anywhere in the sling and just be like, right, she's just on me and here we go. I'm her food source and she's strapped on me and we travel and see people. And
yes.
Anyhow, enough about me. So you're performing today. Are you two slots today?
Just one slot today at 2 o'clock.
Okay, well, I will be listening.
Yeah.
And how can people find out more about your albums and your music?
So the album, yeah, as I said, the one about motherhood won't be out for a while, but you can find out through social media is probably the best outlet. I tend to be quite active on Instagram. Mm-hmm. My handle is Miss Sailing Stones, so MS and then Sailing Stones, all one word. But that's also the handle on Twitter and Facebook, but I find Instagram the most
suits you
happening place for me. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Jenny, and best of luck with baby and album.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
Gone now all but the snowman. Crunch of snow, tapping ice. Crunch of snow, tapping ice. Snowballs flies, we are laughing. Quick before it melts.
So thank you, Kim, for joining me in the,
hello,
the hot seat in the makeshift studio.
Thanks
here
for having me.
So I thought it would be really nice to get your take on being an attendee here today.
Yes.
And also just to find out a little bit more, because we've been chatting while we've been listening.
Yes.
Just heard an amazing, like, rock and roll musician, Rita. That's what she was saying. She was rock and
amazing
roll.
Yeah, she was good, great. She was so good. And I think, Otis, my son, loved her as well.
Oh, yeah. He was rocking out.
Yeah, he was rocking out. Yeah.
So what's your motivation for coming today then?
I met Alice through Barefoot Coaching, because I'm a coach. I'm a career coach, but before that I was a professional musician.
Oh, amazing.
And then for whatever, you know, reason, I had a baby, and then music sort of was put on hold, I suppose. It's probably a best description of how that stopped. Yeah.
And he's almost two, you were saying.
He's going to be two, yeah.
So were you starting to, like, do coaching pre?
Yeah. So because of COVID,
okay.
Obviously being a musician was...
Work dried up.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, so I retrained as a coach during COVID.
Okay.
And then, I've been a coach ever since. But, it's...
You took the pandemic and the parenthood hit on your career then. You've, like,
I suppose, it kind of all hit the fan...
And what kind of music were you making, or are you still making informally?
I haven't made music for a very long time. I was mostly sort of function work. Mm-hmm. Doing weddings and performing. I guess it made money, which sounds awful.
No, it doesn't. Got to pay the bills.
But exactly. It paid the bills.
Yeah, and I didn't mean that in a facetious way. It's like the fact of life, isn't it?
I've met my husband that way. He was in the band that we were functioning with.
What a love story.
Yeah, and he's an artist. He does write and he does play. Not obviously as much as he did, but before we had Otis, he just recorded his third album, which he's still yet to release 2 years later. But
every person has these projects that go on.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then obviously, when you have a kid and you mix the kid into that and... Yeah. The sort of project timeline just gets longer and longer and longer.
Shifts a bit,
And your priorities change, I suppose.
Yeah, and I know these are big questions and you may not have to answer, but are you thinking you'd love to return to music, or do you feel like it's just too hard?
Yeah, it's funny because I already knew about this event and I was like, I'm absolutely going to be there 100%. And then a friend found a poster at a cafe, I think, and she sent me a photo. She said, you have to go to this. And I was like, do you know what? I was just thinking about that.
It's my thing.
I think just like mothers and music and just being in a space where, I don't know, just like day gigs.
I know, it's fun,
you know?
Right?
Like, what, like, a mate, like, Why haven't we been doing this all this time? Like,
I mean, I've not got a glass, but yeah, I think I should.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. I immediately, when I saw Alice, I was like, do you do these every year? And she was like, no, the first one. Yeah. I was thinking, well, we should have one every month. We should have one every three months. I think this, it feels like, only having been here for a short time, it feels like this is the beginning of something. Or at least I hope it is the beginning of something for Alice and for all mothers. But
I think it's really nice the way there's like the fun side, as she said, the celebration, the people performing, and you can just sit and or rock as Otis was doing, or tap your foot or whatever whatever your thing. But there's also been these little like kind of mini discussions between
acts. I didn't catch one of them
because we were late. There's one coming up, so you get that one. And I think it's just nice to for the musicians and the producers involved to reflect on some of the systemic issues and the industry issues about like gigging at night, or how can festivals support with things like pressure?
Yeah, for sure.
And like various aspects of like what can the community of musicians come together to have a voice?
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Like ask for things within the context of a career as a musician.
Definitely. And I think there's obviously a need for it, you know, if everyone's here and they want to talk about it and make change, then great. Because I genuinely, when I had Otis, I was like, oh, well, that's probably the end of my music time.
Okay.
So
the life's a long thing.
It is a long thing.
I don't know. I'm not good at philosophy, so I don't know why I've even started down that conversation. I think we should move on to the discussion zone.
Yes.
Say goodbyes. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And if people want to connect with you, is that something you do or not do?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
I'm not on social media really, but I am on LinkedIn. Kim Sivreed, but if you want to connect,
I'll find you definitely.
Thank you, Kim,
and thank you, Otis.
Bye.
Gone now, all but the snowman, crunch of snow, tapping ice, snowball fights. We are laughing quick now before it melts.
So this is my last recording for the day of the Mothers in Music event. It's been such a lovely day. I think I need some time to reflect and kind of learn a bit more about all these musicians and performers. But for my last little recording, I'm here with Rachel Dadd. So hello to you, Rachel.
Hello.
So Rachel, I heard you lead the choir this morning. I loved it. It was great to have that collective power of the voice together. It was so nice. Do you want to tell me and the listeners a little bit about your musical practice and what you do as a musician?
So I've been writing songs and performing in different bands since I was about 18. So for a good chunk of my life, probably more of my life than not. Yeah, definitely more of my life than not. I've always been very driven to do it. And writing songs is my way of understanding the world. So, and understanding the transitions that I go through and finding solace, you know, put it in a song, share the song with your band or share the song with an audience. And so it's something that I've always continued to do against all the odds, because it is hard. Like, once you have babies, you're, and so many mothers will totally be nodding their heads, it's hard to carry on your own practice. It's like continuing a conversation that you have with yourself and continuing that connection to self through a time when it's motherhood. It's like, the matrescence is a transitional period and it takes time. And so the music's on the one hand really like supported the process for me, but also the music industry and the demands of it and the feeling of like having to stay up, stay ahead, keep going, driving on force, like, you know, that has often caused me to burn out.
I mean, there's a lot in there, Rachel. So pre-babies, though, musical life, did it... There's the emotional bit, the matrescence that you've mentioned, that sort of you felt like you were changing with motherhood, you know, through motherhood. But pre that, the music you were saying brought you, and still does, but like that kind of creative expression, your way to I don't know, articulate things is to write songs. So, but in terms of like pre-kids, what did professional musical life look like? Were you gigging, touring, recording a lot? Like,
Yeah, so I've made tons of albums and I've toured pretty incessantly before I had babies. I was touring a lot in Europe and Japan and the UK. And so that was my life as I knew it. And then when I had my babies, I attempted to carry on.
Yeah. So I listened to you in the little discussion groups that were happening between the performances today. And you did say that, like, you took a under one-year-old, like a baby with you, and a venue was just like an immediate blocker because they were like, no under 18s can come in. And did you sort of... You didn't anticipate that, I assume. It was just a culture shock, a clash between the two ways of being. Is that right? Have I understood that correctly?
Yeah, I was really shocked. I made an assumption and I got caught out and pretty stuck, you know, because I needed to sound check. So I had to call on my sister to come and help and take my baby down the road to the all-you-can-eat Indian, where they had to kind of camp out for about 3 hours. And luckily, my baby had a great time, but it could have been quite traumatic.
Yeah, and then I imagine, okay, your sister dealt with it, the baby dealt with it, but you're probably then in a different headspace, right? And you're like meant to be bringing your A game, for want of a better phrase. And have you found blockers like that in other situations? Like, you know, obviously this event today is about celebrating you as musicians, but it's also about addressing some of the challenges and looking for solutions. So yeah, just wondered what else you've come up against in the process. Yeah,
the pressure, just the kind of the pressure to try so hard, and the lack of understanding that I might actually need to take a break and a rest. And I mean, a lot of the pressure, I think that I put it on myself. And so I'm actually now learning how to make changes in my life so that I'm kind of changing the focus, and I'm starting community projects, and I'm building community and roots here in Bristol. So I'm not traveling off away from my children, and I'm providing something for other people, and especially mothers, that I needed, that I didn't have.
Yeah, I mean, I think the pressure must be massive, right? You know, you're trying to live up to expectations, either that are coming internally, or the outside world wants another album or another gig from you, and sort of doing that. So it's amazing that you're doing these community projects and shifting a bit. And what's been particularly special for you about today? Obviously, we're not coming to the end, but we're coming to the end of the first stage of today. There's going to be evening gigs tonight that, unfortunately, I can't stay for. But, yeah, what are your reflections and takeaways from today?
Yeah, so I think I always assume that there's going to be pressure, because I've experienced pressure as a performer and someone holding space for people, and... someone, or in this case, actually, I've got my event hat on. But from the moment I arrived, I was greeted by Alice, who was beaming and gave me a massive hug. And the amount of like camaraderie and the amount of people who are so happy today, I haven't felt under pressure. I've just been riding this wave of like joy. And I see it in everyone else as well. And it's just brilliant. It's so lovely. I mean, putting the event on and the lead up to this day has been a lot of work for us all, but it feels so very, very worth it.
It's been a really beautiful day. I mean, I came in as a complete outsider, not a musician, don't know anybody here, and I felt really included and really welcomed, and it's felt very special. So you've done a lot between you and Alice and Beth and everybody else who's been part of the team putting it on. So well done to you all. And I know you're performing tonight, so sorry I'm going to miss it. But we can send some links to people through the podcast, and obviously people will know you. But do you want to say how people can connect and follow you?
Yeah, so I have an Instagram account, and it's just my name, Rachel Dad, and that's the very best way to get in touch with me and follow me. The community projects that I have set up and I'm in the throes of setting up, they range from a new community choir called Oak, and you can follow that on Oak Choir, and the project I was just talking about upstairs is called Milk, and the letters of Milk stand for Musician Mothers in Loving Kinship, where we meet to make sounds, and the emphasis is on well-being. We're not trying to like create a product, we're not trying to make money, we're not, you know, the emphasis is on well-being, and I'd like it to be a safe and playful space for mothers to come and try out a new instrument, try out a new idea, try out a new identity if they want to, and take risk. Collectively we'll make sound and take risks. And so it's a very open space, and I don't have a, I haven't like pre-prescribed the shape of it. It will grow very organically. So and it's already started, actually. Yeah.
Well, it sounds great, Rachel. And look forward to keeping in touch with you and hopefully seeing you again. And we're going to go and listen to the end of Beth's set, I think. Yeah. Okay. Bye, Rachel.
Thank you, Laura.
Come now, all but the snowman. Come now, all but the snowman. Come now, all but the. Come now, all but. Come now, all. Come now.
So, of course, having gathered all those little bits of conversations and stories and bits of music from the event, the Mothers in Music event, something was going to go wrong with my own recording process. And unfortunately, I mustn't have pressed record when I was speaking to the wonderful Gemma, who goes as JMA as her kind of music and stage name. It was great to speak with her. And I would recommend that you check out her Instagram feed. It's official JMA Music. She's been going through quite a bit of change with the way she makes and produces music, from doing more sort of singer-songwriter and sort of performance in venues and pubs and things like that, to looking at how she learns new skills within the kind of music production side of things and writes and produces that way. It was great to hear her perform, and even though I messed up pressing the record button on our conversation, I do have a little bit of her performing. Obviously, it's not the quality recording that you would get if you listened to something that she put out professionally. It's sort of me sat with my handheld mic at a distance from where she's up on stage. But it was a really good motherhood song. And yeah, a good example of just thinking about the type of work that she's producing now. So yeah, do check her out and listen to this tune. So thanks for listening today for the episode as well. And yeah, stay in touch. It's motherofallsolutions@gmail.com, on Instagram and X as @solutionsmother. And yeah, hope you've enjoyed the episode. If you have, share it with somebody. Really helps independent makers and podcasters get our content out there. So be great if you could do that. So thanks again for listening. And here's JMA to play us out. Bye.
anything you ask.